Good morning. Go ahead and open up with me in your Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to tackle one of the challenging texts of Jesus from the Gospel of John here. One of the sayings that was very hard for the disciples to swallow for many. Many people even walked away from Jesus at this moment. They were fine when he was performing miracles for them, fine when he was doing things for them, but when he made this statement that we're going to look at today, it was just too hard for some people and they walked away. Even though we take Holy Communion often, the notion of eating my flesh, Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to have any part of me, still sounds abrasive. Eat my flesh and drink my blood suggests, and to me, an all-in attitude. We are so tempted to pick and choose the parts of Jesus that appeals to us or that we can accept. But Jesus in Matthew 16 said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Taking up the cross means that I'm dying to myself and I'm completely surrendering my will to the will of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 47. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask today that you would help us to know and understand what it means to eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink his blood. Father, may you reveal yourself, reveal your purposes, reveal your will to us. Father, I pray that people today would be forgiven, would be cleansed, would be healed, would be restored, would be set free and made whole by the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Obviously, Jesus is talking here about Holy Communion. When the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples in the upper room during the Passover on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And he took the cup also after supper and said, drink, drink all of this. This is my blood of the everlasting covenant, this new covenant that I'm establishing with you. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will show my death until I come again. And so, this is a very important moment. Jesus said, You need to eat my flesh, you need to drink my blood, and those that do have part of my kingdom, and those who do not are not part of my kingdom. Jesus went to great lengths. I mean, think about this, Jews. This is such a contradictory thought to these Jewish followers of Jesus. All the followers of Jesus at this point are Jewish, and Jews went to great lengths to eat in a kosher manner, which means they exerted great effort to avoid eating any blood. And so what Jesus is saying to them is just so radical. It's so out of character for them. It's beyond their comprehension. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But Jonathan Martin said this, "The secrets of the universe are bound up in the Eucharist, in this Thanksgiving, this Holy Communion. Everything about who God is, what God is, what God is like, what creation is like, is all bound up in the table. All of these mysteries are bound up in this sacred, mysterious meal." J.R.R. Tolkien, of Lord of the Rings fame, wrote this, "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one grand thing to love on the earth, the blessed sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves upon the earth. The table, the communion table, is offered to all. Everyone who says yes to God is eligible." Karl Barth, the great theologian, said, "Holy Communion is offered to all. As surely as the living Christ is for all, as surely as all of us are not divided in Him, but belong together as brothers and sisters, all of us poor sinners, all of us rich in His mercy. Amen." You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have some instruction from the Apostle Paul concerning communion, concerning this body and blood experience that we partake of over and over and over, that followers since the upper room, since the apostles, observed eating Jesus' flesh and drinking His blood, taking the bread and taking the wine and remembering Jesus and applying redemption to their lives. You see, in the body and the blood of Jesus, we see the total redemption of man. We see that our sins are forgiven. We are cleansed of all unrighteousness. That as far as the east is from the west, He remembers our sins no more, that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But we also remember Christ's body that was broken for us, that by His stripes we're healed, that Jesus took upon His flesh the curse of sin, which also redeems us from sickness and pain and addiction and torment and confusion and depression. You see, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And healing and forgiveness are in the body and the blood of Jesus. It's so important that we attach our faith and we not just go through the motions, we not just go through the ritual, we not go just through simple ceremonial observance of communion, but by faith we enter into the presence of God. This is a moment where if we need a miracle from God, the miracle is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in His body and it's found in His blood. We sing songs about the blood of Jesus, that it has not lost its power. But I'm telling you, the body of Jesus has not lost its power either. There's healing, there's restoration, there's wholeness, there's deliverance. A crown of thorns was placed on Jesus' head, and that chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, therefore, whoever, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many have died even. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we might not be condemned with the world. You see, it's not a matter of who comes to the table, but a matter of how one approaches the table of the Lord in church, which is in fact the Lord's body. We are so prone to prefer one above the other, the wealthy and elite above others. We're prone to deem others as more important and others inferior. We're so prone to deem others as inferior Christians, even to ourselves. We look at other groups and we take such great pride in that we're better Christians than that group of Christians. Are we not discerning the Lord's body incorrectly? We are prone to self-interest instead of following the way of Christ in preferring others better than ourselves. We approach our faith as this buffet of choices and are not afraid to cut in line to make sure that we get the delicacies that we desire with no regard to how our actions might affect other people. Guys, we need to rightly discern the Lord's body today. We are the body of Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is His body. And how then we treat one another is vitally important, because how we treat one another is exactly how we're treating the Lord and His body. And there's a judgment attached to that. Many are weak. Many are sick. Many even die prematurely because of how they're treating the Lord's body. They do not highly regard. We need to be careful how we come, how we approach the body and the blood of the Lord. The greatest scandal of the Gospels was that Jesus was eating and drinking with the wrong people. You see, wrong-headed religion teaches that if holy people touch what is profane or common, that it makes them unclean. They become unclean. In Christ, it's the opposite. Jesus touches those that are profane and common and makes them holy. Aren't you glad? You see, when Christ touched your life, you were a sinner. You were far away from God. There was nothing righteous in you at all. But when the Holy One touched your life, that unholy thing, you, became the holiness of God and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Instead of being afraid then to touch something unholy for fear of being soiled, we rather must believe that our holiness, which comes from Christ's touch of our life, that our holiness might touch the profane and common, making it or making them holy as well. Jesus was out seeking and saving those that were lost. Jesus said it was the sick who have need of a physician. The church of Jesus Christ was left in the world to touch the world with the holiness of God, not to cloister ourselves, not to hide behind the church walls, not to separate ourselves from the people of this world, lest their uncleanness or their profaneness would touch us and make us unholy. That's exactly the opposite of way it's supposed to work. Our holiness, which comes from God, is intended to touch the world and make it and make them holy. If the same hand that touched us would touch them, they would become the righteousness of God also. Sin. You see, the germs are reversed. It's not that touching people that are sinners and getting our hands dirty with those who are addicted or those who are diseased or those who are tormented or those who struggle, those who curse, those who blaspheme. Look, their sin does us no harm. But Jesus sent us out into that profane world to tell them the good news that they also can become children of God if they'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus. The holiness of God flows through us to a sin-dirtied world. We need to rightly discern the Lord's body. It's the body and the blood of the Lord that makes me, makes you holy and clean and pure. And that same body and blood of Jesus is offered to all who will come and eat. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh, whoever drinks my blood, will have everlasting life." Let's rightly discern the Lord's body. Sin, addiction, disease, pain, abuse and torment, forgiven and healed by eating Christ's flesh and drinking His blood. There's forgiveness and healing in Christ's body and blood. Isaiah prophesied that every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And it's the body and the blood of Christ that raises the valleys, that lowers the mountains, that makes the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. It's the glory of God. We need to highly value the body and the blood of the Lord. In a few moments, we're going to partake of Christ's body and we're going to drink His blood. And we're going to receive again, and we're going to attach our faith again to the body and the blood of the Lord. And I'm telling you, you will be forgiven. You will be restored. You will be healed. You will be set free and you will be made whole. Because the body and the blood of Jesus have not lost its power. How we approach the table means everything. Don't let this be a meaningless ritual. The God of miracles, expect God to meet you at the table today. In Mark chapter 2, when Jesus saw the faith of the four men that brought their paralytic friend, and they tore off the roof tiling and they lowered their friend down at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, Mark chapter 2, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, "Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins?" He looked at the paralytic and said, "I say to you, take up your bed and go to your house." And immediately he rose and he took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all. And so they were all amazed. They hadn't seen anything like this. I'm telling you, there's healing and forgiveness in the body and the blood of Jesus. And if you eat His flesh and you drink His blood, you can receive that healing and forgiveness today. That restoration. I'm telling you, that addiction can be broken in your life by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ at this communion table today. If you will attach your faith to what Jesus has already done for you, then what Jesus did for you over 2,000 years ago will apply to your situation today, because there's no time, there's no distance, there's no space in the eternal realm, in the kingdom of heaven. And we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no disease. There's no torment. There's no addiction in heaven. And we're praying and believing and receiving today that His kingdom comes in this moment, in this space, in this time, that eternity invades this time-chained, this time-bound world, this sin-cursed world. We're believing that heaven, when Jesus came, invaded the earth, and we saw the glory of God, and He confirmed the Word with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that when Jesus is proclaimed, Him crucified and Him raised again from the dead, and we eat His flesh and we drink His blood through this bread and through this wine, as we do that again today, the power of God is present to heal, to save, to deliver, to set free and make whole. You're in the right place today, or you're watching the right message today. Isaiah 53 says, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, literally of pain, and acquainted with grief, literally sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely He hath borne our grief, our sicknesses, literally, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. See, John chapter 19 and verse 1, it's recorded for us that Pilate had Jesus scourged. He whipped Him, the cat of nine tails, and put stripes upon His back. And every one of those stripes purchased the redemption for our healing and wholeness, our freedom. Every place where Jesus shed blood was with purpose. The crown of thorns, so that we could have peace in our minds, our thoughts, that we don't have to be bound by confusion or depression, frustration. We don't have to be addicted in our minds to any drug or alcohol or pornography or anything that would be dangerous or hurtful to ourselves and to our families and to other people around us. We don't have to be bound by a gambling addiction, because Jesus set us free through that crown of thorns. And the stripes, the beating He took in His back, when Pilate had Jesus scourged, John 19 verse 1. The Greek word there is mastiguo. The root word, mastix. The word literally means plague or disease. The woman that was healed from the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Be healed of your plague." The word plague is mastix, mastiguo. When Pilate had Jesus scourged, he literally took that sickness, that pain, that disease into his body so that he could suffer everything that you and I would ever suffer. But Jesus conquered death, and He conquered hell, and He conquered the grave. The grave could not hold Him. The Holy Spirit came and raised Jesus again from the dead. And Jesus' victory now becomes our victory. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be forgiven and we could be made righteous. But the one who knew no sickness or pain or disease took that curse in Himself so that we could receive healing and wholeness and restoration. You see, as we come to the table today and we eat Jesus' flesh and we drink His blood, we need to remember everything that Jesus has done for us and believe that the God of miracles is still alive and well today, that the name of Jesus is still the name above every other name, that the blood of Jesus is still more powerful than any sin or atrocity that we've ever committed or has ever been done to us. The people that have sinned against us, that cannot bind us any longer, because the blood of Jesus we're going to receive in just a moment. And that blood is powerful to set free and to make whole and to forgive. But the body of Jesus was broken for our redemption. His body was beaten, was stabbed, was pierced, and blood flowed. So that everything that we've ever done with our hands or has been done to us by hands would be healed, would be set free, would be made whole. How we violate one another by stabbing and violating one another, our brothers and sisters, is healed and made whole. Every way in which our feet run to trouble and get us into trouble, Jesus was pierced in His feet so that now we could have the beautiful feet that Isaiah prophesied. Said, beautiful are the feet of them that preach this good news. We're made whole in our minds. And by His stripes that He took upon His back, we are redeemed from sickness and disease and pain. You see, as we come to the Lord, let's rightly discern the Lord's body. Let's rightly discern the Lord's body, that the people in this room that we're worshiping with today are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're part of Christ's body, whom He loves, whom He died for. And the people that are worshiping across town, and the people that are worshiping around the world in the name of Jesus are our brothers and sisters, and they're part of the body of Christ, and we highly esteem them. And we do no damage to Christ's body, lest we bring judgment upon ourselves. So let's examine ourselves as I invite the elders, the pastors to come and to pray over these communion elements now. Perhaps you're watching at home on your computer. Perhaps you could just go get a saltine cracker and maybe a cup of juice or whatever you might have. And they will become to you the body and the blood of Jesus if you do so in faith. And so we're going to pray over these elements right now. And I want you in the congregation to start preparing your heart to receive the body and the blood of the Lord. And when you receive that element in just a few moments, we're going to declare over you as we hold up that little piece of bread, the body of Christ, broken for you. And I want you to say, by His stripes, we are healed. When we say, the body of Christ broken for you, I want you to say, by His stripes, we are healed. When we take the cup together in a few moments, and when we say, the blood of Christ shed for you, I want you to say, we are forgiven and cleansed. Bow your head and prepare your hearts to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. Perhaps you're doing this for the very first time. See, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This table belongs to all who will come. And whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that God raised Him again from the dead shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved, forgiven, restored, put in God's family in an instant, in an instant of time. Whoever calls becomes a child of God. This could be your first communion, receiving the body and blood of Jesus. The God of miracles is here. Whatever miracle you need from God is yours now through the body and the blood of Jesus. God bless you as you receive communion today. Amen.